This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. Thank you for joining me today. It's always a delight to be able to spend my afternoons with you, and I'm grateful for everyone who has written. Know that you are being prayed for, and you're being prayed for consistently. A person just wrote to me today and says, hey, could you continue to pray for my sister Diane, who's been recovering from a stroke? She fell last night and broke her hip, and she will be in surgery this afternoon. Please keep her daughter in your prayers, too. She's only 30 and has been her main caregiver. Yeah, it's hard. All right, we will certainly do that. We'll lift her up. In the studio with me also is Preston, my colleague here. Preston, good to have you back. Yeah. Anything we'd like to pray for or lift up?
Just pray for all those in greatest need.
All right, simple prayer.
Keep it simple.
That sounds great. And I want to pray for everyone who has written in and has asked us to intercede and to pray for them in particular. I mean, God is good. God is very merciful. And I know God's going to hear these prayers. Another person said, could you pray for my brother Tom? He's been raised Catholic, but now is a professed atheist. I cannot say any of us, the three children, were raised Catholic. My sister no longer goes to church. She sees no value in it. She agrees that mom and dad did little to foster religion in our family. My brother has it all figured out. I pray with you often. I pray the chaplet every day for Tom, that he will come back into the church. And I also would like to reunite with my cousins who appeared to have ignored me. Look, this is one of those intentions. This person's, by the way, 65. They have medical conditions, too, and they're just asking for all of our intercession. I believe those prayers for conversion are always heard. I do. And we all have loved ones, believe me. I'm in the same camp who aren't living a life of virtue, who are not living according to God's call. But I don't worry. I don't have any anxiety towards that. I just say, Lord, they're yours. I continue to pray and trust them to his merciful care. And if you do that for your loved one, whether it's your children or your siblings or your spouse or somebody you really care about, God's going to give that soul the grace. I am convinced of it. And I think another one of those prayers that the Lord answers, he says, anything you ask in the chapel will be granted if it's according to my will. He wants the conversion of your loved ones. He wants people in that relationship, but he also wants those broken relationships united, especially the sacramental marriages. He wants those addictions broken. You know, I believe that that is the case. So let's pray for that today. We'll give thanks to the Lord for how good he is and how merciful he is, and we'll take your calls. Let's begin as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
I want to pray for Kay, too, who prays with us every day here. And Kay, you just came to my mind, so I want to lift you up. Dolores, listening in Chicago, is first in. Good afternoon, Dolores.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to pray for my friend Miriam, who is having trouble with insomnia, and her husband was in the hospital for 50 days with Corona, and he's survived, but she's having trouble with insomnia. So I'd like to pray for her and for all those with insomnia, and if there's any diabolical things that are happening to people that they can't sleep, that the Lord would cure them. Also, pray for my son, Tom. As long as you're praying for this other Tom that's away from the church, I'd like to, maybe it's the day to pray for Toms that are away from the church. So I'd like to pray for him also. And there was one quick thing. There was a lady on a Patrick Madrid show that was praying, that was talking about her very troubled marriage, and I think her name was Ann. So I'd like to pray for a miracle for that woman and her marriage.
Well, I love it. All great intentions, Dolores. And, you know, as I said today, maybe it is the Holy Spirit at work. I do believe the Lord, he wants those sacramental marriages healed. And he promised. The Lord gave a very distinct promise to you, to me, to all who follow this devotion, that anything that you ask in virtue of my passion, you know, especially through this chaplet, in this great hour of power we pray, it'll be granted if it's according to my will. And I know the Lord wants marriages healed. He wants those addictions broken, you know. And Lord, I give you health problems. I mean, sleep, the lack of sleep, boy, that is a torture in itself. It really is. And my heart goes out to anyone who suffers from insomnia. And Lord, I just ask for those who are dealing with sleep issues, whether it's a narcolepsy on one end of the, you know, the spectrum, or it's insomnia on the other. And I just ask that you can help regulate and allow restoration and sleep to come to those who really are praying for that, those who are chronically fatigued and who just need your mercy. And again, it's probably the first time I've heard that intention come in here in all the years I've been praying this, but I know there are a lot of people who just wake up many times throughout the night. And I give you that, Lord, right now. So we pray for Dolores, her friend Miriam, and for all the intentions she voiced. I unite this intention to those who also are crying out to you. I know you know our hearts. So we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mary, thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. We've missed you the past few days.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I have three intentions. My first is for my nephew, Stephen, in Los Angeles. He's having major back surgery tomorrow, and he needs prayers. And also, I have three little great nieces and nephews who are having their first Holy Communion all together this coming Saturday, May 1st.
Wow, great.
And Isaac, Jack, and Isla.
Oh, wow.
And they're all cousins. And so I'd like to pray for them that they will always feel this about communion as they do for this first Holy Communion for the rest of their lives. Wow. And they'll stay Catholic for the rest of their lives, too. Also, just a few prayers for me, because I have a major second-degree burn on my left foot. In the past 3 weeks, I've been suffering, and it's bothering me a lot. So
I'm sorry, Mary.
If I could get some prayers for that, and anybody else who has major burns, because I didn't realize how terrible it is.
Yeah, you got to be careful, because infection can set in pretty easily in a burn. Be careful, okay? And we're going to pray for you right now, for your nephews, and for those with back surgery and chronic pain. But I'm glad you called with this burn issue. I bumped into somebody while I was away over the weekend. It was a young guy, he said to me, he mentioned his niece who had been burned, and I thought, did she get a sunburn? Was she out at the beach too long? I thought it was like a, you know, really bad case of sun exposure. He goes, no, there was a house fire, and she's got burns all over her body, third-degree burns. And I thought, you never know how life changes, you know, or you go to sleep one day, the next day your life is forever impacted. So, Lord, I give you those who are suffering now, chronic pain, and in particular, the issues of burns. I pray against infection. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray for their loved ones. I lift up every intention that was just voiced to us, and I just ask in particular for your mercy. I do pray for those who are receiving the sacraments, that the grace of those sacraments can fill and imprint in their souls in a special way, Lord, your mercy, your love, and keep them anchored to you. And I pray for the conversion of those that are away as well, that, Lord, those seeds that have been planted can again blossom through these prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from, who's up next, guys? Is that Deepa? Deepa, listening in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Deepa. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I need a prayer request. I have a deposition tomorrow, on Friday in the court. I had an accident, it was my fault. But now that they are claiming almost around $1 million against me. So, I mean, if you can just pray for me for that. That's going to happen on Friday.
Okay.
There's a deposition in the court.
I know it can be stressful. Deepa, let's pray for good.
That is good.
Yeah, let's pray for mercy, okay, and for a really good result. I remember a man called me. His daughter was arrested. She was on heroin charges. All the evidence was against her. She was supposed to be sentenced, and they went in the last moment. He called the chaplain. We prayed, and the case got thrown out. There was some technicality. And I actually had the entire thing dismissed. His daughter went into rehab. So it was really an answer to prayer. And I often think of that story. I was so grateful for that call. But I want to pray for you, too, that God will hear your prayers. I know you said, hey, it was your fault, but let's ask God for mercy. And I often think of, you know, the fact that prayer is the best weapon we have. It is the key to God's heart. It is. And you have to speak to the Lord from your heart. And it's the most beautiful creed, Padre Pio says, that we pronounce in our hour of darkness. So let's pray right now for you. And Lord, I pray for all those facing litigation, all those facing very difficult moments, you know, whether it's lawsuits or you know, other situations that they don't really see a way out of. I know that through prayer and fasting, we can find ways out of situations that have no way out. So with trust and confidence, we give you these situations. And we just ask for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maria is listening in San Antonio, Texas. Maria, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes, I'd like to. I'm calling in for the intentions of my son. I believe he's schizophrenic. He's a 34-year-old man, but will not see a doctor. His children, my grandchildren, do not want to be around him. I have to go out and meet with them elsewhere so I can see them. Please help me.
All right. Well, we'll certainly intercede for you, Maria. We'll pray for your son, and I want to pray for you in particular as a mother with a child that has perhaps schizophrenia. And I want to pray for anyone who has mental disabilities or challenges or issues of mental health. And Lord, I just I pray for this mother. I pray for family members who they see no way out of the situation. And so often when a child becomes an adult, too, it's difficult to get them to see a doctor or to get the help they need. I want to pray for addicts the same way. You're in the same situation where the person is an adult and you are relatively, you feel powerless. Lord, I trust in your omnipotence. I do. And I know we're never alone. In these situations, sometimes the adversity seems too great. And I know you told St. Faustina that we should never worry about these adversities. The world is not as powerful as it seems to be. These addictions, these mental health issues are not bigger than you. So I give to you in particular this mother, I give to you her son, and I give to you all those who find themselves in similar circumstances. Again, mental health, whether it's relationship issues, whether it's addiction. I just ask that mercy flow right now, those rays that flowed forth from your pierced heart, Lord, that may envelop those who now are seeking your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Green Bay, Wisconsin next. Kim, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew, and thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for a young man who's 14 years old. He's in the ICU. They cannot control his fever. They can't bring it down. His white blood cells count is down, and they don't have any idea what's going on with him. And then I also am asking for prayers for my grandson. He's 1 year old, and his skull has started to fuse together already. Mm. And that doesn't allow the brain to grow properly. So we don't know what's going to come of that, other than we do think he's going to have surgery to cut the skull in order for his to grow properly. And I'm just asking for prayers for those two things.
Well, we need a miracle, don't we, Kim? Let's pray for that, okay?
Yes, we do.
Be at peace. Yes. Let's pray. Let's put this in the hands of the Lord. And Lord, again, if it's through medicine that you bring healing, and we thank you for our technology and the gift of our intellect and for medicine. But Lord, I also give to you the grief and the anguish of so many people right now who are so troubled by the illnesses and the problems of their loved ones. And the Lord told St. Faustina in Diary Entry 1485, he says, "You will give me pleasure if you hand over to me all your troubles and all your griefs." It gives me pleasure. So right now, I just invite you, if you're really in a difficult moment, to give the Lord your troubles, give them to your griefs. Let's ask him for that miracle. We want to pray for all these intentions that have just been voiced. And I'm going to sneak one more call in, Kim, with you. This comes from Roseville, California. Vanessa's listening to us there, and pray this on our final decade.
I'll pray.
Hi,
praise,
Vanessa.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you. I pray for you,
thank you,
Drew, and I pray for Relevant Radio, and I pray for my daughter who's going on 8 years, I believe, now with an addiction to heroin. And it's been off and on and on, and it's getting really bad. She just got hit by a car riding her bike yesterday, and she busted her mouth and teeth, and she's facing a court date on Friday that her landlord wants to evict her. And, it's not looking good, and I just pray that God draws her, and that she gets people that could help to heal her, and that she would reach out to them. And I pray for me and my husband to know what God's will is to do for her.
I know.
And also I pray for my other daughter, who's 24, who's also succumbed to this disease, and a family disease.
No.
My father passed away when he was 52, since he was 15 years old of heroin, and it goes on and on. And I also wanted to also pray for my brother, who was an agnostic, and I pray that for all those who do have a belief but are turned away, that they would, you know, turn to God and that God would show them their faith and draw them near to him. He also had, and I found myself with insomnia. And after God worked on me and I prayed the rosary, that has gone away. And I heard the other woman speak on that, and I know that God is a healer. Amen. And if we turn to him and we do that rosary, that is a weapon against the devil.
Vanessa, when I wake up, I do the same thing in the middle of the night. You know, I'll start to pray the rosary, and I know that I'm falling back to sleep because I wake up later, I look at the clock, and oh, I must have been asleep. You know, you're in the middle of your decade. I often say the rosary is an insomniac's cure, and I mean that with love. I don't mean that in a disparaging way. But my heart goes out to you. You know, I have a friend and a loved one who battled heroin. And I want you to know as a parent that there is freedom from that addiction. There might be something in the family line. Let's pray for that. We'll ask the Lord to break whatever demonic stronghold that might be there. But we just want to ask for liberation, healing. You know, it was prison that this person ultimately went to. I wrote about it in the book that I wrote on Divine Mercy. But Divine Mercy brought liberation and healing to that soul. And I believe the Lord can do anything. Because he said to us, sooner would heaven and earth turn to nothingness and my mercy not embrace a trusting soul, that nothing's impossible with God, especially this prayer. So, Lord, I give you these intentions that came in, all those who are on hold, all those united with me in prayer now. We trust in your mercy and we ask for miracles as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Giannamola.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
You are never alone.
God bless Relevant Radio.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's such a pleasure to be able to pray with you and just spend my afternoon with you. Let's continue to pray for each other and for all these intentions that we hear. So many crosses, right? I look at my own life. We all have them. But I hear some of these intentions, and I'm thinking, wow, mine are a pale shadow of what some people have to endure. And you might feel the same way. It's such a joy, such a pleasure to be able to just to pray with each other. And please keep these intentions in your prayers. You know, I want to continue to remember to pray for all those who are part of our Relevant Radio family here, all those who are part of the Divine Mercy Intercessors. And, of course, want to pray in a special way for those who are part of our St. Joseph, St. Gabriel, St. Nicholas, and Guardian Angel Society members are remembered every day here in our prayers during the chaplet. We ask St. Faustina to intercede for them. And I want to thank you for your support, too. I know that many of you have found Relevant Radio and you have supported us in the past. We'll have another pledge drive coming up. So when I reach out to you again in this hour, I hope you'll consider saying, Drew, we're here with you in the hour of power, and we want to let you know. I have some news for you, though. And I'm holding in my hand right now. I really should have a little web camera in here so you could see it. I actually have a copy of the book that I wrote on Divine Mercy. I'm really excited to have it here. Do me a favor, though. Please do not call Relevant Radio and ask where your book is. All right. I think the first 57,000 have been mailed, so you might be in the first shipping. There's probably another batch going out after that. A lot of these books were responded to. But I know the first run has out, and the second run is going to be coming to you in a few weeks. So I know there's been a lot of people calling. A couple of people gotten it. If you haven't and you read it, let me know what you think. I hope you'll like it. I think it's going to be a blessing to you. I really do. I think the Lord's going to use this in a really powerful way. I actually included in the book, too, and this is just a side note for you, too. I'm going to talk about consecration. Today, we remember St. Louis de Montfort, and if you're not consecrated to the Virgin Mary, I would recommend you do it. But I included in the end here a prayer of consecration to Divine Mercy. And I want to talk about consecration. Let's pray this prayer. I want to do this for you, okay? If you love Divine Mercy like me, maybe you got a loved one or a child or somebody else you want to consecrate. Let's pray this prayer of consecration to Divine Mercy. And then let me share with you the power of consecration. And I will just say this quick prayer. Join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, the Divine Mercy, I consecrate my entire life from this day on to you without reserve. And into your hands I abandon my past, my present, and my future. From this day forward, make me a true follower of your teaching and let your Divine Mercy image protect my home and my family from all the powers of the evil in the world today. May all who venerate it never perish. May it be their joy in life, their hope in death, and their glory in eternity. Amen. If you have gotten my book, you're going to get an image of Divine Mercy as well. And I frame it, put it in your home. The very cover of the book is the image of Divine Mercy. So that is on its way to you. And that's just one of a number of beautiful prayers that I've included in the back. But I included that prayer of consecration for a reason. And I want to talk about it because today we remember in a special way the very powerful, the very holy, the very beautiful St. Louis de Montfort. You may not know who he is. I'll give you this quick thumbnail. We'll talk about Marian consecration coming up in a few moments. St. Louis de Montfort was a powerhouse saint. He really was. And he talked about Our Lady's role in particular in the last days. You know, and some people, I had a friend call me today, are we living in the end times? I don't know. I don't know any more than you do whether we're living in the end times. One thing I do know is that entrusting yourself to the Blessed Mother through the spiritual exercise of Marian consecration, as taught by St. Louis de Montfort, as taught by St. Maximilian Kolbe, as taught by John Paul II, as taught by Mother Teresa of Calcutta, is transforming. You know, in the Divine Mercy devotion, I often talk about how important trust is. The Lord talks about how, you know, our distrust wounds his heart and how the more a soul trusts, the more it receives. That's what Marian consecration really is about. I was reflecting on it a little bit earlier. Some of these great saints, they lived the reality of communion with our Blessed Mother. And the beauty of Marian consecration is you give yourself, you give every grace and every merit, every blessing that you have to Our Lady. You ask her to represent it to the Lord, to use it. And in exchange for that, what I've done, for everything I've done, you know, it all belongs to Our Lady. She'll be my advocate. She'll be my intercessor. I put into her Immaculate Heart my wife and my children, those that I love. So they're now Our Lady's responsibility. So you have a wayward child. You got a spouse that you're praying for. You got somebody else, parent. Consecrate yourself to Our Lady and trust them to her Immaculate Heart. And you will not have to worry about anything else. Why? Because Marian consecration is a covenant of love. It's the union of your heart with the Immaculate Heart. You know, saints and church tradition, they teach that the surest path to Jesus, and John Paul II said this, says the clearest, I believe it was John Paul that said this, the fastest, the most direct way to our Lord is through Our Lady. You know, that's your goal, consecration to Mary. And people say, well, why should I consecrate myself to Our Lady and I just go to Jesus? Of course you can go directly to Jesus. Consecration to Mary draws us into her mission on earth. And what was her mission? It was to birth Jesus. God formed Mary to bring Jesus into the world, into the heart of humanity. At the foot of the cross, she stood. You know, the Annunciation, she said yes. She accepted God's will. At Calvary, as her son was beaten, tortured, and crucified, he publicly made her our spiritual mother. He publicly proclaimed that when he said to John, "John, this is your mother." You know, and he said to Our Lady, "This is your son." That moment, she became really our spiritual mother. And it seems logical that we should turn to our spiritual mother, shouldn't we? Mary's consecrated children are her pupils. They are her champions. And she intercedes, I believe, in a special way for her. And Marian consecration is very simple. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll dive into it. Well, I'll fill you more in on it. But, you know, popes like Pope Emeritus Benedict, he wrote about this. John Paul II had great devotion to it. Benedict talked about her luminosity, how it pierces all the darkness, all the evil with the light of truth, and it will set you free. She is the light, but she isn't the light, I should say. Christ is the light, but she radiates the light perfectly so we can see our way no matter how dark your situation may be. I always thought that was so eloquent. That was so beautiful. You know, some exorcists, those who do battle with the evil one, they often teach that praying the Angelus in the morning and then noon in the evening. I don't know whether you do that. It's a practice that's done in Medjugorje. There are a lot of places that do it. You might want to set your phone to remind you to do this. You pray that beautiful prayer three times a day. It's a very powerful way of spiritual protection against, against the evil one. Because the incarnation is the defeat of the devil. And that prayer is despised by evil spirits, these exorcists say. Why? Because it's a reminder of the woman who crushes their head, right? The humble, obedient, pure Virgin Mary, right? With that courageous yes, that fiat. And it's my own experience that through Marian consecration, you know, you can make a yes to God. And anything is possible. You're going to find huge protection from sin. Gentlemen, if you're struggling with impurity or some sort of other temptation, consecrate yourself to the Mother of God. You know, hey, whatever your sin is, ladies, whatever your temptation, whatever you confess in that confessional, you know, you're going to find huge protection from sin and evil when you give yourself to the Mother of God, because the evil one has to flee. He has to. He doesn't like her at all. You know, de Montfort, and we'll talk about him coming up here, just a side note here, he wrote this treatise on true devotion. And he included a chapter on Our Lady's role in the last days. And I was always struck by this because he stressed the necessity of appealing to her intercession in order to combat the forces of evil. I just had this call during the chapel of a woman who's, there seems to be a history of heroin addiction in the family. It's not just one member, but it's sisters, it's uncles, it's family, it's the family line. You know, let's call upon Our Lady. All right, and maybe you are struggling with an addiction. Maybe you drink too much. Maybe you have a compulsion of some sort. Maybe you self-mutilate. You know, maybe you're struggling with impurity. Maybe you're cheating on your spouse. I mean, today, begin anew. There's a great book that's out. Jake, what's the name of that book? Do you know the one written by Father Gately? I did the Marian consecration. Louis de Montfort did a consecration. John Paul II wrote one.
Oh,
a lot of works out there.
33 Days to
Morning Glory.
Morning Glory,
33 Days of Morning Glory. True Devotion is the one that Louis de Montfort wrote, but 33 Days of Morning Glory. That's my book recommendation for the day, yeah, especially in honor of St. Louis de Montfort and John Paul II, St. Teresa. It was written by Father Michael Gately. Excellent book, okay? And I made my consecration. I renew it every day. De Montfort, he wrote back in 1712, about 4 years before he died. He died young. He died at 43. He talked about how this true devotion to the Blessed Mother would be hidden for about a century. It would be lost. That's how much Satan hated it. And true to his prophecy, his treatise on true devotion to Mary was hidden. You know, it was not found until 1842. And it was discovered by accident. It was found in a home for priests in the company of Mary in France. This great work that influenced John Paul II and so many others, Maximilian Kolbe, hidden away. You know, but the power of this is transforming. I'm telling you, I'm giving you a spiritual secret here. I'm telling you something that emboldened my own spirituality. Marian devotion is the surest way to our Lord. I mean, it's a fast, open path. And St. Louis de Montfort, he explained that in the days leading to the Antichrist, he says a powerful group will emerge from among the clergy through their devotion to Mary, and they'll be granted special powers to fight Satan. Again, I'm not saying we're in that time. I don't know the time. But this is what the great St. Louis de Montfort wrote. He says, you know, in the days leading to the Antichrist, a powerful group will emerge from among the clergy, which through their devotion to Mary will be granted special powers to fight the evil one. But what will they be like? These servants, he says, these slaves, these children of Mary, he says, they will be ministers of the Lord, like a flaming fire will enkindle everywhere the fire of divine love. They will become in Mary's powerful hands like sharp arrows with which she will transfix her enemies. They'll be true apostles of the latter times. He says it's through these men that there will be major conversion of faith. So for you priests who are listening to me, if you have not explored, and I invite you to do that, devotion to Our Lady, especially consecrating your priesthood and yourself to the Mother of God, check out True Devotion to Mary. Check out Father Gately's book. Explore this. I think the Lord's going to use you in a powerful way. De Montfort writes, in these latter times, we must shine forth more than ever in mercy, in power, in grace. He says, in mercy to bring back and to welcome lovingly the poor sinner and the wanderers who are to be converted and returned to the Catholic Church. How many of you have loved ones that are away from the faith? Huh? How many of you are praying for that son or that daughter or that loved one? True devotion, consecration. Put them in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, and you will see the power of this. You will see the power of consecration to Our Lady. Look, Satan hates Our Lady. He fears her more than angels, more than men. You know, in a certain sense, more than God himself. You know, Satan is so proud. He suffers infinitely, right, from being vanquished, being punished by this lowly and this humble and this pure servant of God. I mean, Our Lady said yes, and it was that yes that defeated him. God has given Mary such great power over evil spirits. You know, many of these exorcisms, you talk to these exorcists, they talk about the power of Our Lady when she's invoked. He's given her extraordinary power in these times. You know, they've often been forced unwillingly to admit through the lips of the possessed person that they fear one of her pleadings for a soul more than the prayers of all the saints. In one of her threats, more than all the other torments that they have to do. That's the power of the Mother of God. You know, read Genesis. It talks about the enmity, right, placed between her seed and the seed of the evil one. She'll crush his head. We know how the story ends. In the end, Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the end, the Immaculate Heart will triumph. So we're on the winning side of these issues. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this. If you have a question, we can certainly dive into it. We'll talk about St. Louis de Montfort. Above all, we'll talk about Marian consecration on this great day dedicated to a saint who championed Marian consecration and changed the spirituality of St. Maximilian Kolbe, John Paul II, Mother Teresa, and so many others.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, so good to be with you today. I'll tell you what, we have a few minutes. Father Ed Looney is going to be stopping by here. If you want to share how Marian consecration transformed you, I'd love to hear those stories. There's some powerful stories of Marian consecration out there as well. The one who really impressed me is John Paul II. I mean, it really impacted his entire papacy. And today is, you know, I have a lot of favorite saints. Faustina, of course, is probably the top tier. So many of them. But one of my favorite saints is St. Louis de Montfort, whose feast day it is today. So he was born back in the 1600s, 1673, died on this day in 1716, and he is most known for his love of Mary. And I really think he transformed the way a lot of people look at the Virgin Mary. and devotion to her. I know he impacted me. Jake, you did Marian Consecration too, right?
I did, yeah.
You also did the Divine Mercy one too, right?
The Consecration to Merciful Love. I did that one after the Marian Consecration. And it's funny, Drew. I've talked about this before on the show, but it took me years to finish the Marian Consecration. I just kept putting it off over and over again. And it wasn't until I met Kathy, my now wife, like literally probably the second week we started dating, she's like, hey, have you ever done this Marian Consecration? Yep. And I'm like, I've tried. And she was basically the main reason I was able to do it. Doing it together was the antidote.
So. Well, I got to be honest. I tried the Louis de Montfort Consecration. It was brutal.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even tried that.
It's a tough one. If you are deeply spiritual, Patrick, you did it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I did it years ago.
I tried doing the de Montfort Consecration. This is not to diminish it, because I think it's extremely powerful. All these great saints did it. I do it late at night. I'd be so tired. I'd say to myself, we got to do our consecration. And I'm complaining about consecrating myself. I said, that's not the right thing to do. So I just pumped the brakes. Father Gately came out with what was a pretty simple one, 33 days of morning glory. And I just found that was short. It was sweet. I was able to really pray deeply in that one. And I used that as the framework for my own consecration. But I'm joined today by a man who also has deep love for the Mother of God, Father Ed Looney. And actually, he's working on a book right now. I was talking to him in a break on Louis de Montfort and consecration. So it's providential I have him with us today. He hails from the great Diocese of Green Bay. It's good always to have Father Ed Looney on air with us. Father, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Yeah, great to be with you. I enjoyed the little conversation before coming on as you and Jake were talking and Patrick, because one of the reasons Ave Maria Press asked me to write this new book coming out in October, they wanted a 10-day retreat book based upon the teachings of St. Louis de Montfort and true devotion to Mary. And basically what I say in the introduction is that it took me a long time. It took me forever to do the consecration to Mary through St. Louis de Montfort because it was so complex. And for a person who's just approaching it, they almost need an introduction. And that's what they're hoping that this new book will be for them. But I'll tell you, the same thing is true for me, for Father Donald Calloway's consecration of St. Joseph.
I love it.
Because I started it three times, I think, and I just can't get to it. I can't complete it, but, Our Lady of Knock is going to be my day for St. Joseph this year.
Well, good for you. I know Father Calloway personally as a friend, stayed in my home last time he was up here, but I'm with you. I almost felt like that book needed a better editor. The way it was written sometimes, it can become a little laborious, but I know a lot of people did it. I don't want to disparage it all. I think consecration is so important to the Mother of God, to the Divine Mercy, to St. Joseph. And let's talk about that, Father. Maybe explain the idea. Like, why do we need to consecrate ourselves to Divine Mercy or Our Lady or St. Joseph? Why not go directly to Jesus? What is it about the power of consecration? What happens through one consecrating themselves either to Our Lady or St. Joseph or to Mercy, whatever you make the consecration to?
Yeah, actually it's interesting because it's a little controversial to use the word consecration. And that's the word St. Louis de Montfort uses, total consecration to Jesus through Mary. John Paul II, in a lot of his writings and in his teachings, he preferred the word entrustment, that we entrust ourselves to Mary or we entrust ourselves to St. Joseph. And so he kind of preferred that language. But really, I think when we talk about consecration, well, what does it mean to be consecrated? It means to be set apart, to be holy. And really, that's what we're all called to be. We're all called to be holy. We're called to be set apart from the world, to be consecrated to God alone. And so for St. Louis de Montfort, he saw this great efficaciousness with having the Blessed Virgin Mary being a part of it, that we offer our lives to Jesus through Mary. And kind of the idea here is that God chooses to dispense grace through the Blessed Mother. God chose to send Jesus through Mary for our salvation. And so now, in a sense, we return everything back to Almighty God through Mary. So that's the idea of consecration, in a sense, is just being set apart, being made holy. And it's really, too, St. Louis de Montfort wanted it to be seen as a renewal of one's baptismal promises. Yeah. So he would go around and he would preach missions, and they would end with the consecration. But it was really all about renewing that initial consecration that happened on the day of our baptism.
I love that. The Divine Mercy devotion helped me to really trust in the Lord's mercy and to let go of concern and worry. But before I really got to that point, it was marrying consecration. In the way it was explained, you know, we give all of our graces, our merits, and our blessings to Our Lady when you make that marrying consecration. She, in turn, represents them to the Lord. I mean, it's not like they're wasted, right? You can't outgive God. And then in exchange for that, what I've done is I've entrusted my needs, my wants, my desires, my children, my wife to her Immaculate Heart, knowing that she is now, that they're theirs. How do you see it? Maybe you can explain that. How does that entrustment, that consecration, that letting go work? And why do we give up? I mean, some people say, why do I want to give up my graces and blessings and marriage? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
This is a very popular question. And when people read through, for example, Father Michael Gately's book, and they know me personally, they'll call me and they'll be like, what does he mean by this? And what does St. Louis de Montfort mean by this? And often then I have to respond to that. And so really, I think it's coming to that realization of knowing that heaven knows better for all of us. And so when heaven gives graces, when heaven dispenses these graces, well, they know who needs them. And so, you know, they're not going to short us on the grace that we need if we return everything back to the Lord through the hands of Mary. Of course, God is going to look out for us. We're still going to receive all the graces. But then God might say, I know that there are people over here that need some divine assistance. And so maybe what we pray for, well, that helps them. So it's really trusting that heaven knows what's good for each one of us.
Yeah, that's so true. Such a good point. I know you know a lot of powerful stories of marrying consecration. Do you want to share one or two of those? I think they're so important. For those who've never made the consecration, I love hearing how it has impacted others.
Yeah, I know a few stories, just people I know in my own life that, you know, one lady I know of, she went through the Marian consecration process, and she was actually, you know, she tells this in her conversion story, and so basically says, I was doing all of these drugs, I was living a life of dissipation, I was far away from God, but something prompted me to pick up, whether it was 33 Days to Morning Glory or St. Louis de Montfort. They picked up that Marian consecration book, and they've been sober ever since. They've never touched drugs again. Like, it was a complete dispersal of evil in their life. Like, no longer was it there. For others, another friend of mine did her Marian consecration, and it led her into doing full-time music ministry. So kind of as a way of saying, how can I make my return to the Lord, as the psalmist says? Well, how can I return all the good that God has done for me, especially through this consecration? And it really propelled her into a music career. For others, you know, like I said, they leave behind lives of addiction, and they really come to experience the power of this Marian prayer and Mary's intercession.
Yeah, I love it. Was it John Paul II said this? Maybe it was Louis de Montfort. I don't know who I'm misquoting. It said the surest pathway, or the truest, the speediest way to Our Lord is through Our Lady. Was it de Montfort or John Paul?
Yeah,
I'm sure they all shared that.
Louis de Montfort said that, yes.
It was Louis de Montfort?
So that was Louis de Montfort, but we know that John Paul II had such a great devotion. He encountered the works of St. Louis de Montfort at a very young age. Even his papal motto, Totus Tuus, is actually from St. Louis de Montfort. That was a phrase that guided the life and ministry of this saint that we celebrate today. St. John Paul II said true devotion really changed his life, wow, and he owes everything in his spiritual life to that book. So it is one of these spiritual classics. We talk about a lot of different spiritual classics out there, like The Story of a Soul, or anything from St. Teresa of Avila or St. John of the Cross. Well, right up there among the great works of Catholicism over the last 2,000 years is definitely True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort.
No doubt. I find it fascinating that it was lost for over a century. That's how powerful that work was, you know, and Satan, of course, you know, I'm sure he didn't want it out. We have a few minutes. We'll take a few calls for your father. The number, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Los Angeles first. Laura, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Father Looney.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much. I was just informing your assistant that just answered basically a couple of tips on consecration to St. Joseph from Father Calloway. We are almost consecrating ourselves on Saturday. I am leading a group of 30 of us, And that was my quick tip. If you are doing this in a group, it really does make a big difference in supporting each other in walking through the journey.
Yeah.
It is pretty deep, but it has been an amazing journey to be consecrated to St. Joseph.
Right.
So that was just a quick tip. It is much easier when you are doing it in a group because you pray for one another. You give tips for, you know, we have our gatherings every week on Wednesdays, you know, Day of St. Joseph.
Yeah.
So it has been a true blessing. It is a deep book, but it is big blessings. I see lots of miracles up to now.
Laura, thank you for the suggestion. I think it's a great idea because my wife and I, we have friends that we'll do novenas together with. We do it over the phone. They'll call us at 9 o'clock at night, and then we'll say the prayers. You talk a little bit and go in. You share your intentions. You do the novena. It's a great way to get through something like a consecration, or at least to keep you on task. Father, I have less than a minute. Your new book's coming out. I know your latest book is A Rosary Litany. People want to read your works because you're always cranking out new books. What's the best way to do that?
They can visit my website, edwardlooney.com, or follow me on social media, at @FREdwardLooney.
And Father, I want to thank you, too, publicly. I know you do the Mass at Relevant Radio on a regular basis, and I'm always grateful for that. People can stream you if they are in other parts of the country, and hopefully one day the doors will be open again, and you know, we'll be able to have Mass with you live. Good to have you, though, Father. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. God bless you.
All right, that's Father, Father Edward Looney. Say a prayer for him, all right? Always doing a great work. It is top of the hour. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'm back on the other side. Wait till you hear about this one. Wokeness. Let's talk about that. What is it? How bad is it getting? And how do we combat it? I'll tell you some bizarre stories. Stay with me.